Well, the Mets have hit the one-third mark in baseball, 54 games into a 162-game schedule. Everybody else in baseball has played more than 54 games. The Mets have a lot of games to make up, but they're at the 54-game mark, 6 over .500 at 30-24. They have a 3.5-game lead in the National League East. They're just coming back from a 5-4 road trip, a 3-city, 10-day, 9-game trip. And any time, doesn't matter who you play. They played Arizona and Baltimore and in between San Diego. One tough team, two softies. But any time, as I said, you go through a 3-city, 10-day trip and play 9 games, you come back over .500. That is a good trip. They probably should have won all three in Arizona. They come out of there winning 2 of 3. They were shut down by Yu Darvish and Blake Snell in San Diego. But then they got back-to-back wins Saturday and Sunday behind Jacob deGrom and Marcus Stroman. Then lost in Baltimore on Tuesday, but then bounced back with just a rout, a 14-1 rout of the Orioles in the Wednesday game. 6 home runs hit by the Mets in that game. That's a good trip. At 5-4, and it puts you 6 over .500, as mentioned, 3.5-game lead. Everyone else in the division has problems. The Mets have problems, too. They have a lot of injuries, and then they have to wait to get a lot of guys back, and we've been waiting a long time for McNeil, Conforto, Nimmo, Carrasco, Syndergaard. Will we ever see those guys? Probably eventually, but not anytime soon. You'll see Luis Guillorme before you see anybody at this point in time. But Atlanta has problems. They had a great starting rotation last year, and but had a great bullpen. This year, starting rotation has been okay. The bullpen has been much worse. That's hurting them. Philadelphia has defensive problems, amongst other problems. Washington can't hit with runners in scoring position. The Marlins, they have a tendency to have leads in games, but they can't hold those leads, partially bullpen, partially because they can't score runs as well. They're kind of anemic offensively because they've had a lot of injuries. So everybody has problems in the division. So do the Mets, but they sit with a six games over .500 and a 3.5-game lead. They're sitting in a very good position right now, especially after this road trip. So let's take a look at some of the reasons why, and then we'll get to what lies ahead for the Mets, and it's not easy, to say the least. Well, we have to start with Jacob deGrom, because you always start with Jacob deGrom. He's the best pitcher in baseball. It's not even arguable anymore. A 0.62 ERA, 0.62. Think about that. That is the lowest ERA through 9 starts ever in baseball. He has a 0.57 whip, walks and hits per innings pitched, and that is the lowest whip through 9 starts since at least 1901. Not 2001, 1901. That's a long, long time ago. He also has 93 strikeouts through 9 starts, and when you combine that and the ERA at 0.62, that is the best ever since earned run average became official. I think that puts him in pretty unique territory, like all by himself. You want a few more? How about FIP, Fielding Independent Pitching? He leads the major leagues in FIP at 1.03, and he leads all pitchers in WAR, wins against replacement, 3.2 WAR thus far for Jacob deGrom that he's racked up, and he leads all pitchers in baseball with that. It's not just DeGrom either. If DeGrom is one, and he certainly is, probably 1A right now is Taijuan Walker. Walker has been terrific for the Mets. He got the win on Wednesday, going to 5-2. He has an ERA of 2.07, which is terrific. He's allowed just 2 home runs in his 61 innings of pitching thus far. And the Mets have won 9 of his 11 starts, all 5 of them at Citi Field, and he'll get another one here in, at least 5 or 6 days. They had an off day Thursday, so sometime early next week he'll get his next start. Mets have won all 5 of his starts at Citi Field and has mentioned 9 of 11 thus far. When you go back to 2020, Walker started the season in Seattle, then he was traded by the Mariners to the Toronto Blue Jays. And if you take his 6 starts in Toronto with the Blue Jays and the 11 that he has posted thus far with the Mets. His ERA is 1.85, so that's terrific pitching. He finished the year great last year, and he's picked it up right where he left off. And he's been the 1A to DeGrom's 1. There's no question about that. You want to throw Marcus Stroman in as a 2? Yeah. Listen, Stroman is supposed to be maybe the third guy, or that's what everyone thought at the beginning of the season. Everyone figured it would be DeGrom, Carrasco, then maybe Stroman and Walker. Walker has elevated his game to move past that, but Stroman not that far behind. Stroman, the record 5-4, doesn't look that great, but a 2.41 ERA. And overall, the starters have the best ERA in all of baseball at 2.89. And listen, when you have a guy at the top with 0.62, you might expect that, but the other guys have fallen in as well, too. David Peterson certainly has had taken his lumps, had his ups and downs. Joey Lucchese, you know, has been so-so at times, has shown some flashes. But those three guys in particular, and in particular the top two, DeGrom and Walker, have absolutely steered this ship and been terrific thus far. Take a look at some of the offensive guys. How about James McCann? You know, everyone was down on James McCann signing the big contract. Didn't get off to a great start. He had just one home run in his first 33 games. He has now hit 5 in his last 13. Last 10 games for McCann, he's hitting .368, 4 doubles, 4 home runs, and 12 RBIs. And his OPS is over 1. So McCann has really picked it up offensively and been a big stick in the middle of that lineup right now. And he's also played a pretty good first base when asked to do so. When Tomas Nito was shifted behind the plate, Mets really needed offense when everyone was banged up. And McCann went to first, played well at first, and also hit. So McCann, you give him big props at this point in time. Pete Alonso. Alonso was in a 4-for-34 funk just before he went on the injured list. He had a sprained right hand, but he was just 4 for his last 34 before going on the injured list. Since coming off the injured list, here's what he's done. 8 games since he has returned from the IL. He sat out one of them, hitting .371, 4 home runs. He's hit 3 in the last 2 games, 12 RBIs, and he scored 9 runs. Now, Pete also made some news, too, by talking about Major League Baseball manipulating the baseballs year in, year out, depending on who the free agent class is. Now, you can believe that or not, and he didn't have, you know, many facts to back that up. And, you know, Pete, listen, used the argument that back in 2019, there were free agent pitchers galore, so they had a lively ball. The offense was, you know, up that year. Home runs were up that year. They wanted to hold down the salaries of the pitchers that were going to be free agents, the big pitchers, and there were several of them that year. That was Alonso's theory. And his theory this year, where they've deadened the baseball. Well, you have a big free agent class of shortstops coming up. You also have some other position players that are going to put up numbers. So you want to deaden or lessen those numbers. That's why Major League Baseball decided to deaden the ball this year. I'm not sure I agree from one vantage point. Listen, anything is possible. And is it beyond or above Major League Baseball to do something like that? Of course it isn't. You know, they can easily do that. I just don't see anybody smart enough in Major League Baseball to do it. I haven't seen that from the commissioner or anybody running this game over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But is it possible? Yeah, it is possible. It's a nice theory to throw out there. Maybe Pete has something to it, but he spent some time on that just the other day. And, you know, listen, we'll see if it all bears fruit. We're going to hear a lot about slicking up baseballs right now and pine tar and stick 'em and all that kind of stuff. And umpires are going to do a lot of checking over the next month or so in baseball to kind of curb that and deter it. So we'll see a lot more of that. But interesting theory anyway, coming from Pete. Now we get to the bench mob. And when you say bench mob, you probably think, you know, Jose Peraza, Jonathan Villar. Well, those two guys in the bench mob have become regulars. Villar has regularly played third base. Peraza has been a fixture at second base in McNeil's absence, and both of them have played great. So they've graduated from the bench mob to become regulars on this team and contribute a lot to this team. So you have to look at other guys. So how about Kevin Pillar? Pillar has absolutely been tremendous. 36 games. He's hit 4 home runs, 3 doubles, and I think one triple as well. Yeah, we'll throw a triple in there for him. 13 RBIs for Pilar. Started slow, but has really come on. This is a guy who was hit in the face on May the 17th, and 2 weeks later, he's back in the lineup on May 31st. Multiple nasal fractures. A lot of guys would be out much longer than that, at least a month, if not more. This guy has such great intrinsic value to this team. Everyone admires him. He's a gamer, a gutsy guy. He's a great teammate. He's a guy that, listen, you want on your team. I know no one's going to remember this, but back in the offseason, my idea for fixing the Mets was, number one, sign the best free agent available, and I thought that was JT Realmuto. I thought he was the best player by far, not only the best catcher, but, and that's nothing against James McCann. I understand why the Mets went for McCann. They had to fill that need, and they were worried that Realmuto would take a long time. I get it. But my plan was to sign JT Realmuto behind the plate and forget about George Springer in center field. Sign Kevin Pillar. You know, Pillar was not going to put up the numbers that George Springer may in Toronto. We don't know. He's been injured most of the season, so that certainly worked out for the Mets. But Pillar is a guy you can stick out there in center field, not worry about the defense. I know that Albert Almora Jr., probably they prefer to play him in center when healthy over Pillar. But Kevin Pillar, to me, is a gamer, a gutsy guy. And he's a guy, a great teammate. He's always had that reputation wherever he's played, and he always brings it night in, night out. So that was my plan. I don't know if anybody remembers it. They probably don't. It doesn't really matter now. Pilar is here. Realmuto isn't. And we'll have to see how it all works out. But I think McCann has worked out pretty well so far, and the pitching staff loves him. And Pilar certainly has been worth his weight in gold. The other guy is a guy that probably no one expected to see here. He was a Yankee at one time, Toronto, Milwaukee, Billy McKinney. He was acquired May 25th from the Brewers, who put him on waivers. And he's been here 2.5 weeks, and here's what he's done. In just 12 games, he's 11 for 40, and he has the same numbers as Pilar. 4 home runs, 3 doubles, and a triple, 11 RBIs thus far. 8 of his 11 hits thus far have been for extra bases. He's got tremendous pop in his bat. You know, pulls the ball, can go the other way, plays very good defense out in right field. Billy McKinney has been a breath of fresh air and has really brought a lot to this team. And he's, to me anyway, at the top of the list for guys who you have to find a place for when everybody gets back healthy. You know, keep in mind, they don't have a room for a lot of these guys, you know, like McKinney and others who have stepped up time and time again for this team in the, you know, in the short distance, but McKinney is a guy you have to find a spot for in this team, I think, anyway. You've got to find a place for him. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we'll find out when everybody gets healthy and they have to squeeze everybody into this lineup. But that's the way it looks right now. Those two guys certainly have been the stars of the bench mob so far. And, you know, hopefully that continues for a while as the Mets hit a stretch here where they're really going to need it. Now comes the hard part. And what I mean by that is they played 54 games, one-third of the season. They're well behind other clubs as well in games, and this is where you start catching up. Starting Friday, the Mets have one day off before the All-Star break. The All-Star break begins on July the 12th, so they have one day off between now and then, and that will come on next Thursday. That will come on Thursday, the 24th of June. Actually, it'll be a couple of Thursdays away. Thursday, June 24th. They have 33 games in 31 days. Think about that. 33 games in 31 days until the All-Star break that will begin on July the 12th. That's a lot of action. And that's a lot of pitching. That's a lot of bodies. That's a lot of bullpen. So it's going to be a war of attrition for the Mets. They have 3 doubleheaders. They have Washington on June 19th. They have the Atlanta Braves on June 21st, 2 days later. And then 4 days later, they have 2 with the Philadelphia Phillies. So they have 3 doubleheaders in 7 days, 9 games in 7 days. That's an awful lot of work. And it's going to require an awful lot of manpower as well. So we'll see exactly how they fare. But the hard part definitely begins. In addition to that, eventually they will have a suspended game that they have to make up on August 31st. That's against Miami. That's Marcus Stroman's game that he didn't want to start, and they pitched a third of an inning, and that was that. And they also have another doubleheader against the Nationals that will come on September 4th, right before Labor Day. So they have other games as well to make up. But think about that, 33 games in 31 days, and you know, hopefully they can manage to get through this, but it's going to take a lot, and it's going to tire a lot of guys out. And that's why you need a lot of guys right now, and that's why you're going to sit different guys during times. And, you know, a guy may have a three-hit night. He may be sitting the next day, and people are going to say, hey, why are you doing that? Well, when you have 33 games in 31 days, that's what you have to do. And Luis Rojas has done a great job of, you know, giving guys rest, managing this team, keeping an even-keeled demeanor. He's really helped an awful lot in building this six-game over 500 cushion that the Mets have right now and the three-and-a-half-game lead that they enjoy. One thing that, you know, this guy won't be here this year, but I wanted to mention about Brett Beatty, who has been terrific thus far in the minor leagues down in Brooklyn. Five home runs in his last eight games. Beatty is hitting .367 on the season and an OPS over 1.090. Beatty is the real deal. Third baseman got a lot of pop, and he has certainly acclimated himself. Now, he's got a long climb to go. Like I said, he's not going to be here this year, but nice to see Brett Beatty get off to a good start. And there are many other minor leaguers, too, that have gotten off to good starts as well. Mauricio and others, they've had some, obviously, with Matt Allen, the unfortunate thing with him, and Pete Crow Armstrong, obviously, going down to injuries. But they've had a lot of minor leaguers that have stepped up. Probably not going to see a lot of these guys for a while, but eventually they may become a bench mob in the future and maybe regulars as well, too. But Beatty off to a good start. That'll wrap things up. We'll get back with another Mets podcast soon. Enjoy the baseball, folks. There'll be a lot of it coming your way very shortly.